John chapter 13, and sorry, a little hectic here. Well, John chapter 13, we've been going through the book of John and closed out John chapter 12 last week. And the last 5 minutes of tonight, so we'll go about a half hour, and then the last 5 minutes we'll have our financial statement there. And just wanted to mention all the things that we've been spending money on, making the house of God look a lot better, and still are in the green. You know, praise the Lord for that, and looking forward to those things. Our kitchen looks great. Got both fridges in there, got the stove in there. I mean, man, it just looks good. So, very thankful for that. Okay, we're in John chapter number 13. John chapter number 13. Thank you, Larry. All right, John chapter 13, we're going to start in verse number 1. And if you ever need a pen, they're always out on that table. So, verse number 1, it says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." So question number 1 comes from verse 1. It says, what did Jesus know? And then I put on the paper, other than everything, of course, right? You know, I can see a smart aleck, you know, he knows everything. Yes, yes, I know. But according to verse 1, what does he know? What does it say we know? That his hour was come. Remember, I said I was going to point that out every time, because that shows that he alone has control over his life. You know, you and I can't control our lives in that way, right? If you can't control those things. But Jesus, you know, he said to Pilate, what did he say? He said, you'd have no power unless it was given for you from above. Okay? I also wanted to point, this isn't a question, but I love at the very middle part of the verse where it says, the Father having loved his own. Isn't that great? You're like, I am of the Father's. Who loves better than Jesus Christ? Amen? Having loved his own. And if you are a child of God, he loves his own. Amen? All right, verse number 2. "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded." So that's question number 2. What did Jesus begin to do? Wash their feet. Wash their feet. Sometimes people think they're too good to do things like that, right? And Jesus, of course, that's going to come up in later questions, so I'm giving away the answer now. But Jesus says he did this for an example for us to follow, right? The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, right? Of course, he came to seek and save the lost as well. All right, so that's what did Jesus begin to do? He washed their feet. Verse number 6. "Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Now, if you read this with Peter in mind, it's funny. I know I laughed out loud. I really did. I'm a nerd, I guess. But I laughed out loud because I try and place myself in these stories, you know, and think of like what it would be like to be there. And I'm thinking, you know, here's Peter that never shuts up, right? You know what I mean? Someone like me, right? And he's like, Lord, don't wash my feet. And Jesus says, well, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. Okay, don't just wash my feet. Wash everything, you know? So it's like he can't just do what God's telling him to do. He's always got to, you know. It's just funny. I laughed out loud. So anyways, question number 3 says, what was Jesus' response? Or I'm sorry, what was Peter's response? Or no, it was Jesus. I'm sorry. When Peter said, you'll never wash my feet to Jesus, what was his response? It's Jesus' response was, you'll have no part with me. Okay? You'll have no part with me. So sometimes we need to just, you know, if I could say it like this, sometimes we need to just shut up and do what God tells us to do. Amen? Right? Well, that's not a nice word, I know. But it's true. Sometimes we need to just hush and do what God tells us to. Okay, verse number 9. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Oh, I didn't even read the verse, and I was laughing at it. That's what I laughed at, was verse number 9. I thought I read it in my head, sorry. But also my hands and my head. That was the part I was laughing at, saying Peter did was going over and above, you know, those. Okay, verse number 10. Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. So question 4. I took it away from here, and I said Ephesians 5:26 says we are washed by what? So I'd like you to turn there real quick, okay? Hold your spot. Go to your right a couple books. And you're going to get to Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. All right, so Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Okay, and I'll go ahead and read it, and it says this. It says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Okay, so verse number 4 says, Ephesians 5:26 says we are washed by what? The word. Now, you might be thinking, washed by the blood, right? There's a song, you know, washed by the blood of the Lamb. But it, do what? Right, the blood. Well, yeah, and but the word of God. See, here's the point. The analogy here, if we could use an analogy, is this. Salvation is Jesus, the blood of Christ cleanses us, right? That's salvation, fully, like fully, head to toe, right? Then once you're a Christian, the analogy is you're walking through this world and you get dirty. You don't lose your salvation, but you get dirty. Where? Just on your feet, right? Not your entire body, because you didn't lose your salvation. Again, this is an analogy. I know it's not exactly spelled out here. This is an analogy. But your feet get dirty, so you don't need saved again. You just need to cleanse that, you know, cleanse your life, if you will, like get, renew your relationship. How do you do that? Through the Word of God. That's how you keep that relationship with God fresh and new, you know, and things like that. So that's kind of the analogy. You may have heard a sermon preached about that. We've used that analogy before, so wanted to go over that. Okay, that was question number 4. Okay, verse number 11. For he knew who, so Jesus knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me master and Lord, and ye say well, for so am I, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. So I kind of got ahead of myself there, but question number 5 says, why did Jesus say he did this? To be an example, okay? Only Jesus can wash people's feet and not be grossed out, amen? Like, get your stinky feet away from me, all right? So I'm saying, you know, we're not having any feet washing ceremonies here, okay? No, but that, I'm kidding. But yeah, Jesus is the example and that we should follow. And to apply it to our lives, guys, that means that if somebody needs help, you help them, okay? You don't, you know, you don't think you're better than them, you do it. Now listen, don't enable them, okay? There's a difference between enabling and helping, okay? There's a difference. Enabling is helping somebody who doesn't want to change, right? You're not helping them, you're enabling them to continue that lifestyle. Helping is when somebody, you know, hits rock bottom and they truly want to change, they just need a little bit of help. Okay, that's the difference there. Now, I understand it's hard to tell in somebody's life. I get that. But the best way I could say it is that right there is when somebody's ready to help themselves, then you give a helping hand. If somebody's not ready to help themselves and you pick them up all on your own, then you're enabling them. Because as soon as you can't pick them up forever, and you can't, you know what I mean? You can't be there 24/7, so all you're doing is enabling them unless they're ready to, you know, do something on their own. All right? Okay, question, verse 16. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. So that's question number 6. I know these questions are easy, guys, but sometimes it's hard to find a question, you know what I mean? A hard one here. But question number 6 says, Jesus said, happy are ye if ye what? Do these things. And you know, that's why a lot of people are depressed. Really is. It's not because, I mean, you know, I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm just saying, Yes, some people need medicine. I get that. I'm not a doctor, so I would never say don't take medicine if a doctor says it. That's between you and a doctor. But I would say the Bible says that if you're not doing the things of Christ, you're not going to be happy. So no duh, you're not happy. I can look at you. I mean, I'm not judging you, but I'm just saying the Bible says you'll know them by their fruit, right? Well, when you look at somebody's lifestyle, no wonder they're not happy, because you can see the bad fruit, if you will. And it's like, well, yeah, I wouldn't be happy either. And so, try that first before you go to medicine, huh? Yeah, I know, right? I go to a bar every Friday night. I can't understand why I don't have money for my bills. I can tell you. It's not rocket science, right? It's easy. Figure that out. Okay, verse 18. Or you try and find a boyfriend or girlfriend at the bar. And then you're like, God, I don't know why you won't give me a godly woman or a godly man, because they're not at the bars. I mean, is there possibly one? I'm going to say no. I'm just kidding. Man, I'm being awfully judgy tonight, aren't I? Okay. No, I'll tell you this real quick. My brother Jacob, I'll share this. I'm going to embarrass him, but he's not here, so it's okay. Come to church and I won't embarrass you. No. But my brother Jacob used to say, I have CJ, my wife, and, she's amazing, okay? And Jacob used to say, man, Kurt, you got the last good woman out there. Like, well, Jacob, there's a lot of good women out there. You're just looking in the wrong places. Looking in the wrong places, And, so you got to look at the right places, folks. Happy are ye if you do them. Okay, verse 18. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Okay, so question number 7 says, what Old Testament scripture did Jesus reference here when he says this? Well, I don't expect you to know that offhand, okay? So hold your spot here. I'm going to have you go to Psalms chapter 41. Psalms chapter 41. And that's your answer, is Psalms chapter 41, verse 9 is the scripture reference, but I'd like to read it. So Psalms is usually in the middle of your Bible, unless you have a whole bunch of maps in the back. Throws it off a little bit. Okay, Psalms chapter 41, verses 9. I'm going to go ahead and read. Now, this is a historical record of David, okay? Talking about Ahithophel, okay? But it also has a double application, okay? The historical one, right? But then a prophetic one of Jesus, because he's literally quoting this here, okay? Verse number 9. Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. And that's what the verse says. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Right? Do you see the words there that's quoted? So your answer there was Psalms chapter 41, verse 9. And there's a whole lot of Old Testament verses that prophesy of Judas betraying Jesus. And specifically for 30 pieces of silver and all that, which we'll get into in another chapter here. Okay, verse 19, we're going to read all the way through 27. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified, and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Now, by the way, who is that referencing? John. Anytime you see a disciple whom Jesus loved, it's John. Okay. Verse 24. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? So Peter was like, hey, John, ask who it is. And then John asked who it was. That's what's going on here. Right, because he knew John was his favorite. There you go. Verse 26. Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, something interesting here happens. Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now, we're going to get into some weird stuff here for a second. So, the question number 8 says this. What New Testament verses tell us that Satan has ministers? Okay, so if you hold your spot here, I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Okay, 2 Corinthians, just to your right, you got John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. So John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. So the first thing I want to point out here, a couple things, is that Satan has ministers. And you all know it, don't you? Yeah. See ministers of Satan running around. Some of them are our children. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. There's times I wonder. Like, Alexa, man. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. I love her. chapter 11, I'm sorry. Chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 and 15. Actually, let's do 13 to 15. It says this, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." By the way, if you don't know this, you never want to be judged according to your works. Amen? In the book of Revelation, saved people are judged according to, you know, the book, right? Lost, and you know, whether you accept Christ, lost people at the great white throne judgment are judged according to their works. Why? To show them they deserve hell. That's why. To show them that they deserve hell. Okay? So anyways, I wanted to point out that, first of all, we need to understand, Satan has ministers. He has ministers. And you know it. That's why things are so evil, you know, in the world. Okay? And so we need to be aware of that. Okay, now another thing I want to point out is question number 9. What verse? Oh, I also, hold on, let's talk about this, where it says Satan entered into him. People always, especially when you're around teenagers, you know, I was a youth pastor for a lot of years, and the teenagers would always ask, demon possession. Like, they just wanted to talk about demon possession at the time. It's like, it's fascinating to them. And so I didn't want to go into a deep study here, but I will just in a nutshell say this. I do believe in demon possession. I do. I think it's biblical. Now, I don't believe a Christian can be demon possessed, and here's why. When you become saved, the Bible says the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. A house divided against itself cannot stand, right? So I don't believe you can be possessed if you're a Christian, but I do believe you can be influenced, okay? A Christian can still be influenced by the devil. The Bible says that are taken captive by him at his will. You know, those that are taken captive by the devil at his will. So I do believe they can be influenced but not possessed. Now, I don't believe somebody, like, especially lost people are like if you say that, like, oh, can I be possessed? I don't have, so this is just Kurt Lemke talking, okay? This isn't 100%, but I don't know. I don't think the Bible gives a 100% clear answer here. So I'm going to give my opinion. I want to make that clear. This is my opinion. I don't believe you can be accidentally possessed. I believe that, now I think the Bible leans towards this, but it's just not black and white, and I don't want to pretend it is, okay? But I believe that if somebody opens themselves up to demonic possession by doing things such as Ouija board, you know what I mean? Ouija boards or incantations, or when they're like thinking of, you know, like if you think constantly of killing somebody, I believe that people who commit murder, most of them are demon possessed. I truly believe that. I don't mean in a heat of a passion, like you kill the guy who's cheating on, you know, your wife or something, right? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about somebody who, you know, premeditating killing people. I believe most of them probably, most likely, are demon-possessed. And I don't think it's by accident is what I'm saying. I don't think somebody has to fear, like, I'm walking around and, oh, I got demon-possessed. No, I think it's only when you open yourself up to it is my opinion. Again, can I point to a specific scripture and say that's, if you have a different opinion, I may be wrong. Again, I'm trying to make clear. You guys are no. I'm saying that's my opinion. Chill. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, in John chapter 6, if you guys remember, Jesus says, "Have not I chosen you 12? And yet one of you is a devil." That was in John chapter 6, and we're in chapter 13 now. And then, do you remember when the woman broke the... when Mary Magdalene broke the box, the alabaster box, Who complained? Judas. And it said, not because he cared for the poor, but because he held the bag. So he, in my, that shows he was a thief, right? And so he, you know, by having that kind of a personality, I believe he opened himself up to demon possession. So basically what I'm getting at is I don't think some random person has to be worried about, can I accidentally be possessed? I don't think so. I think it's only if you're opening yourself up to those things. That's, you know, and I did search it. And again, I don't think the Bible has a 100% answer, except I do believe the Bible's pretty clear. You can't be possessed if you're a Christian. How can you when the Holy Spirit lives inside of you? Right? Yeah, and he tells us to shun evil and all that. So I hope that helps. Okay, so now I want to get into question number 9 says this. Now this is, again, just interesting thoughts, okay? I'm not saying this is black and white, but it says this. What verses show us at least a correlation to what Judas is called and the Antichrist? Okay, this was interesting to me when I did this study. I thought maybe it would be interesting to you. So go to John chapter 17, verse number 12. I just want to show you something that it doesn't really matter per se, I guess, but it's just interesting to think about. That I do believe, okay, let me say this. You guys know in Revelation, two witnesses are going to come back and be witnesses for Christ. Offhand, who are they? Does anybody know? You might know. Most people say it's probably Moses and Elijah. I think God has Moses and Elijah. That won't be us. If we die, we're not coming back, right? That's, Moses and Elijah has a special place that none of us do, if you will. Okay? They're coming back in the Revelation. Well, I believe Judas may be that same thing, only on the opposite side. Okay? I believe Judas is going to be the one that's going to be the Antichrist. Let me explain. Okay? John chapter 17, verse 12. If not Judas, at least the spirit of Judas, if you will. Okay, let me show you. John chapter 17, verse 12, Jesus says this, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of," what's that word? "Perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." Now, Judas is called the son of perdition. Does everybody see that? Okay, now turn to 2 Thessalonians. So if you don't know where that is, it's in, you know, 1 Thessalonians. It's after 1 Thessalonians. I know, right? It's before Hebrews. It's right before Hebrews there. Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, yeah. Chapter number 2, verse number 3. So 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 2, verse number 3. So it's right after Colossians, okay? You got 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. Right before 1 Timothy. Right before 1 Timothy. Okay, so 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, okay? Let's look at verse 2 first, okay? So understand the context here. People are afraid that the rapture had happened and that they were in the end, you know, the tribulation. And Paul was giving them, letting them know, you're not in the tribulation. Let me explain. You won't be in the tribulation until this happens. And here's what he says in verse 2. "That ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there coming a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." You guys see that? Verse 4, look at verse 4 so you know who we're talking about. "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." This is the Antichrist, folks, okay? This is the Antichrist, and it calls him the son of perdition. Isn't that interesting? And then I wanted to point this out. Go to Acts chapter 1. Because this is, you know, again, maybe I'm just reading into things. And that's why I would never, like, preach this from a sermon. This is just for Wednesday night Bible study. And my goal here, if you're wondering why am I doing this, my goal is sometimes when you get these interesting things, it makes you want to study the Bible more. Because you're like, that's interesting. You know, and maybe it makes you get in the Bible more. Okay, so go to Acts chapter 1, verse 25. Verse 25. It says that he may take, they're getting a new apostle, okay? "That he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. Well, that's interesting. Isn't that kind of interesting? It's like Judas go to his own place. Like, I don't have my own place. I mean, in heaven, I have my own mansion, all right? But I'm in heaven. Judas went to his own place. Now, okay, I would never preach this on a Sunday sermon because I'm not saying, this is just me thinking, like, this is fun to think about, okay? Judas went to his own place. He's called the son of perdition. The Antichrist is the son of perdition, is called the son of perdition. Well, now go to Revelations, and let's look at something there. So go to Revelations chapter 17. All right, last book of your Bible, Revelations, which, by the way, is when the Antichrist will be, right? Revelations chapter 17. We're running out of time here, sorry. We're almost done. Okay, we're going to start in verse number 8. Verse number 8. Revelation chapter 17, verse number 8. It says, "The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into," what's that word? "Perdition. And they that dwell on earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is." Interesting. Now go to verse 11. "And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition." Like, I, you know, remember what I said? Sometimes I come across a word that's interesting and I look up that word, right? Perdition, right? I just was looking. Where's this word perdition come out in the Bible? And you come across, you're like, wow, this is really interesting. Now listen, this is just a theory of mine, okay? This isn't, by the way, this doesn't affect our salvation in any way, shape, or form. It doesn't affect my theology in any way, shape, or form. Okay? Don't you know, fire me because I'm a crazy person, okay? I promise this is just interesting to think about. But I think it's possible. Let me just say that. I think it's possible that Judas, because the Bible says in John 6, I've chosen you 12, but one of you is a devil, right? So I think Judas, just like Moses and Elijah, have their own special position that they're coming back in Revelations. So in other words, it's possible, is what I'm saying, right? I think Judas, because he was the one who, you know, was a devil that betrayed Christ, I think has his own place in hell. Wherever it is, the pit, okay? Because it says in Acts, went to his own place, right? I think he's in his own place being held until the Antichrist comes. And it's either going to be Judas reincarnate or the spirit of Judas, if you will. Okay, now that's just my thoughts. Okay, I hope that was somewhat interesting to you. But again, if you just look up the word perdition and kind of follow it through, you're like, wow, this is interesting, you know, because he's called the son of perdition. Okay, and it may not be. I may be off, okay, but at least it was interesting to think about. Okay, let's finish John chapter 13. We got one more minute here. We'll finish out. Okay, verse 28. We'll try and finish quickly here. Verse 28 says, "Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, 'Buy those things that we have need of against the feast,' or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out..." We'll finish the chapter, and we'll let you answer the questions later, okay? "Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, 'Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, 'Lord, whither goest thou?' Jesus answered him, 'Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards.' Peter said unto him, 'Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake.' Jesus answered him, 'Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice.'" Let's pray, and then we'll have our financial report here. Dear